Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University, a variety of topics from MTSU, and of course the area of science is a big area in Blue Raider country. Dr. Patricia Patterson is with us. She's a professor of the Department of Chemistry at Middle Tennessee State University. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you with us this morning. Some exciting things happening at MTSU, the big Science Olympiad. What is that? What's it all about?
I think of Science Olympiad as STEM, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, in action. Science Olympiad is a national tournament, and sometimes it's international. We've had people from Canada and Japan to compete. And it started in 1985. It gives students of all grade levels the opportunity to compete, win medals, trophies, and just have fun expressed and showing that they know their science.
Now, do students and parents come and visit and watch this happening? Is it like a quiz game? Or?
Well, it's better than that. It's like a team for sports. 15 members, up to 15, can be on the team per team, and a school can send more than one team. And so we have some schools sending an A team and a B team. And so, of course, the coach comes along. Sometimes parents come along, siblings, grandparents. Now, they can't go into all of the areas where the students are testing. They can do some of the things, like if they're in the AMG and they're flying the helicopter, or they're dropping a helicopter with an egg attached, they can see that. But I restrict, since I'm the regional director, I restrict and I give the opportunity to event coordinators to decide who can watch them. We do not want the students to be distracted. They have worked for months, and so we don't want them to be distracted.
And so they're actually doing science project here.
Well, it's like three different types of things. One is based on concept knowledge. So they need to know things about rocks and minerals and the rock cycle, or know what epidemiology is, and they give a scenario. They may have to figure out some things. Another one is based on they bring in devices they've already built and they're tested that day, so they compete. And another one is, it's like I call it using your process skills, called write it, do it, and anybody can do it. You don't have to be a scientist to do it. You're given, say, Legos. You're given something with a shape that's already been designed, so it's a two-person team. And so one team looks at the shape and writes down how it's connected. The other team in another room gets the parts, and based on what they wrote, their teammate wrote, they have to construct it. Now, most of the time, it's not what we had put together, because they don't know how to give the right instructions, and there are guidelines. You can't say, take the blue one and do this. You can't do that. So it's very using the students' process skills and using what hopefully they're learning in school and working with anyway.
So they come up with new ways to recreate what somebody else describes.
Yes. So it's a combination of things. It's one student looking at what the event coordinator has already put together, but they have to write it. And, you know, writing is such a big part of the student's assessment now. So I consider write it, do it as just the forerunner of, like, the Common Core and all these things we're hearing about.
It's like the old game we used to play, just a story. You'd start on one end of the circle and go around and be surprised at the end how different that story was.
Most definitely. So when I look at some of those contraptions, I call them, when it's like, whoa, it's not supposed to be off to the left or backwards, but it's so much fun for the kids.
And they learn a lot by making it work, I guess.
They learn that it takes time to and effort to give directions and write things down. Because students, my students also in my classes, they don't like to journal. But it's kind of like journaling. Mm-hmm. They have to write what they see, and they have to conceptualize, okay. And then the next person is following the directions, and they get lost sometimes, you know.
Now, this is middle school and high school.
On Saturday, yes.
And so we're seeing these youngsters, the smartest minds in the middle and high school levels, coming together with math, science, the whole bit there, an area that there is a shortage, isn't there?
Right. And it's not necessarily the top kids.
Oh.
It's the kids that have an interest. So
uh-huh.
So because they volunteer, and each school can determine how they screen the kids. I have some schools that they may have 45 to 50 kids sign up for Science Olympiad. The team is only 15. So they find out, they figure out ways to reduce the team. Things like you must practice, you must stay after school, and if they can't stay, or maybe we'll have to kind of work it out, but you must have your calendar clear for the tournament date and all these things. But you have to work, the students have to work. And so sometimes the teams, they can't whittle it down to 15, so they end up bringing two teams. And some kids may like helicopters, but they don't like biology or life science or chemistry. So they won't sign up for that event. They enter the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a wonderful opportunity for not just the top kids to come.
Now, does MTSU, do you as an educator, look at these kids and say, I would like for that student to come to MTSU instead of going to somewhere else?
Most definitely. Those kids that excel, and I'm trying to work on some type of scholarship for them, because some of the regionals in Tennessee do that. I would love to give them an opportunity to get have an MTSU scholarship. Say, for instance, they place in, we would select some of the events, some of the building events, and or overall, looking at the numbers, how many events they competed in, I would love to be able to give them a scholarship.
And that is so important, because some of these youngsters, they're not going to have a chance.
They're not. And you know, it's not just the brightest of the bright. That's what I love about it. Any kid that wants to commit to the rules that the coach set up and follow them, and I have had students come in who were not prepared for an event because the teammate got sick the morning before and the coach just said, you go into this one. And it was a conceptual type of event. And they go in, and at the award ceremony, they win medals, and you should see the smile on their faces. It's like, I didn't know I knew anything about that.
A whole new discovery.
Who knew? Right.
Yeah. But the whole neat thing of what this sounds like, it teaches the youngsters that by hard work, by determination, not strictly by who's gifted with the greatest genius, but by hard work, which is the way the world is,
yes,
you get ahead.
Well, and that's exactly it. And they have to work at it. Some teams in the state start in August and September. Some teams, because we have seven regions throughout Tennessee, some teams start 1 or 2 weeks before the tournament. And we see that that's reflected in their scoring and how they do. Some of the events allow them to bring in notebooks of data or information. And what we find is those students who try to flip through and find the answers do worse than those who use their brain, what they've learned in school, and look at the question, look at the scenario, and go like, oh, I can figure this one out. But that's how the standards are going anyway. So I think it helps those kids better prepare for the next generation standards, the Common Core. It is all about that.
And that word you used, team.
Team.
That's the secret of it. And that's what it is in the workplace. You're either a team or you're just a bunch of employees.
Right. And what they have to do is learn to work as a team, because one of the teammates may be sick that day or, you know, just can't do it. And somebody else has to step in. But they have to learn to work together. And when they, because the events will say up to two students per team can compete. So maybe they've been all alone that day, but they've worked with somebody and they can do the job. So it reflects that, yes, in the real world, we have to work as a team. We may not always agree with our teammates, but we work for the common good because they want the medals, they want the trophies, and they want to move on to the state because ours is just a regional tournament. And so top five out of my region from middle school will move on to UT in April, and top four
now,
high schools.
Where is that? I've never heard of that school.
You know that one over in Knoxville?
Oh, the second largest one.
Yes, sir. The second largest.
I'd heard that name somewhere.
Yes. Now,
18 years you've been doing this, so you have seen a lot of changes, I bet.
Right. Now, MTSU has been doing it for 18, and I've been involved for probably about 14, but the regional director for 11. Mm-hmm. I've seen growth across the state, but also across the area here. We have had to boot a lot of the Nashville teams back up north. And because I wanted Rutherford County to be represented as best as possible. And so sometimes we also have counties below us. And so but the kids are the same. They're excited. And the parents sometimes want it more than the children because they try to help them. And we say, that's a no-no. You know, we have to put things over the window sometimes because they're trying to give them signals and things. I mean, you wouldn't think that, but they really want it for the kids.
Or get excited with the kids.
Yes.
That's their child.
Well, because they've worked with them. See, mm-hmm. A lot of the parents work along with the kid trying to help them figure out to prepare for this, to study, to help them, give them tips on building. The kids have to build it themselves, but we have all sorts of aerospace people and builders who work with the different teams.
Now, with 18 years behind you, are you seeing these students going into the Honors College? Are you seeing them doing things that maybe they would not have had the confidence to do?
I think they see that they can go to college and be successful. Some of them do, because they have never done anything in science like this. They've played sports, some of them, or music or whatnot, arts. But when they come here and they see that I competed against some of the best, because some schools are, you know, we have a lot of private schools. When they come in and they find out, for instance, I'm going to toot the horn for Laverne High. Laverne High, for the last few years, have represented, been one of the teams to move on to the state. And those kids, when we get over to the UT, they are so excited because they're out there with the best of the best from the regions, and they go back with a big chest and like, mm-hmm. Oh, we can do this.
Now, what is the secret for a school like Laverne excelling over the others? Is it a teacher who has
it's
a
the
passion?
Coach.
A coach?
Okay. It's the coach. And the coach, what he does, the one that they have now, and he's been the coach, he gives them the opportunity to learn and fail. He doesn't give it to them. He shows them resources. He helps them. He guides them along. But he is like their mentor. And I've known this young coach. And when they started winning, I mean, we were just all cheering because, you know, Laverne, I mean, beats Riverdale. And Laverne beats Siegel and all these others. It's like, and Laverne is beating Montgomery Bell. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like, whoa, you know.
So they are really learning through their eras, which is yes. How you learn best.
Right. And I was at a conference this weekend with the coach from Laverne. So we were at a conference in Atlanta, and he mentioned that he was a little concerned about a couple of his students' events because he had tried to guide them, and we're in the last week before. He's not quite sure that they're going to put it all together, but he's going to let them do it because it's not like a science fair where, you know, a lot of times we parents help our children more than we should. We should let these kids learn and work and figure it out because that's life.
Do they have a specific project that they're working on and they're bringing in some specific item, or do they not know until they get there?
No, they know. A good team will probably be organized before Christmas, and there is 23 events in each division. Your team is only 15 students, so some of these kids will compete in two or three events. So if the person is really into building, then that person or the team, they'll be building mousetrap events or whatnot. If someone is really good in conceptual ideas, then they may do that. So before they come, they know where they should be competing, what events, what time, what building. And then the coach's job, if someone does not show up that morning, they have to scramble to make certain they either put someone with them or let them go alone.
Saturday, May the 4th, will be here before we know it.
Well, our Division B and C for middle and high school is this coming Saturday.
Oh, this coming?
Oh, yes.
That's really going to be here before we
Yes,
know it.
So some of us are a little nervous. The May 4th is for the elementary for grades 3 through 6.
Oh, okay.
Over at John Pittard. And so, yes, and they are more excited, that little group of kids, than I think the excitement is the lower the grade level, the higher the volume that I hear and see. So when we have the high school kids together in the middle school, the high school kids sometimes a little bit more reserved. The middle school kids are screaming, they hurt your ears. And when you get to that elementary with the award ceremony, you can hardly keep them quiet because they love winning and showing their teachers that they know stuff.
Now, what time and location should people be? It is open to the public, right?
The public can come. We start registration at 7:30. The events start at 8:15. And we have about 5 or 6 events in 5 time slots. So we end at about 2:30. If they want to come to the award ceremony, it's in the student union in the ballroom. We're over in the new building.
Boy.
So we've got space for everybody and more.
About what time is that?
It will start at 3:20.
Okay.
I start on schedule. I may not have all the results, but I need them before the end because we give out medals and trophies. But we start on time at 3:20.
Sounds like something people need to get behind, and if you have enough people there, it just encourages the youngsters even more.
Exactly. We want to encourage our kids to be the best they can be.
Thank you for visiting with us, Dr. Patricia Patterson, professor in the Department of Chemistry at MTSU, and this is the 18th annual Regional Science Olympiad this Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Have a super day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stay with us. Much more to come. We're going to be talking about STEM. STEM, right? STEM. If you're scratching your head wondering what that is, you'll know in just a moment. That's the band of blue in the background.
Is Consumer Warrior.
This is the real deal.
Mark Howard, weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
You can go all the way at Ford of Murfreesboro Truck Country USA. Game season may be here, but there's no games at Ford of Murfreesboro. Right now, drive away in a new Ford F-150 for just $17,990. Not one, every new 2013 Ford F-150 with an MSRP of $24,665 is just $17,990. Also, get 0% financing for 60 months. Hurry to Ford of Murfreesboro, 1550 Northwest Broad Street, or visit fordofmurfreesboro.com.
I'm David Lee. Come see me at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Roberts Auto Repair, honest and fair, on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Forget spending thousands of dollars at the dealership and come see me. We have complete maintenance schedules, just like the dealer. At Roberts Auto Repair, we're always honest, always fair.
Good morning. We've got light traffic, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Light traffic, Old Ford Parkway at Bridge Avenue, Old Ford Parkway at Chapin Place, Old Ford Parkway at Kaysen Lane, Broad at Church, and Broad at Memorial with light traffic for us this morning. Of course, schools are closed. It is a national holiday. Light traffic because of that. Anticipate that as you make your way through. If you're suffering from headaches, low back pain, been in a car accident, Dr. Frales at Back to Life Health and Wellness can help. Call Back to Life Health and Wellness, 834-2600. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that President's Day weather for Murfreesboro, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
Sunshine for the forecast area. Today we do have a wind advisory out, a high near 60 degrees. South winds 15 to 30 miles per hour, could see gusts as high as 40. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Faluber.
Right now, This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Now more than ever, count on WGNS. Locally owned, locally operated, and responding to your local opinions. Issues that impact the heart of Tennessee.
Stepping back in time, that's the Band of Blue in 1970, and some music from Camelot. Welcome back. Our continuing tribute to Middle Tennessee State University, the focus on Blue Raider country as we continue the conversation this morning. Dr. Tom Cheatham, the director of the STEM Education Center at MTSU, and Lee Gostowski, the program coordinator. They are both with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you both with us. First of all, so that people can have a better understanding, what is the STEM program? What's it all about?
Well, we have a center that's been around for about a decade, the STEM Education Center, that has focused on trying to improve science and math education all the way from kindergarten up through the graduate level. And we offer a number of programs that we try to get outside funding for that allow us to improve that STEM education. One of those programs is the MTeach program, a replicate of the University of Texas Austin UTeach program that Lee Gostowski heads, whose goal is to train more and better science and math teachers. And then other things we do professional development at the center, and we do research to try and study how we learn and how we teach to improve the process.
There were reports years back about a shortage of science and technology, engineering, math teachers. Are we sort of narrowing that just a bit? Are we catching up? Are we getting the needed educators?
Lee, why don't you respond?
Thank you. We are certainly doing our best, and I'll take physics as an example right here in our own community. There was a couple of years ago that the entire state of Tennessee produced only one physics teacher. And at MTSU, we had not until just very recently produced a single physics teacher in over 20 years. We now have 13 students in the pipeline. We've graduated three, all of whom are working. And it's a wonderful opportunity for these students to work as a community, to be educated with other science and math students who are passionate about teaching and about their disciplines. And it's made a big difference.
You know, I had never thought, when I heard about shortages in educators in these areas, I hadn't thought that. For how many years did you say before we had a physics teacher?
20 years.
20 years, that's a long time. How did that happen? Was there just no interest in physics? Surely there was a demand.
Our physics department does very well, but the attractiveness of becoming a physics teacher just wasn't made known to the students. They had many of other opportunities in which to pursue their physics education. And they didn't have much of an understanding of what it was like to be a teacher. MTeach is a different kind of program in that we send our students out into the classroom from their very first semester. So they get an opportunity to actually engage little kids in hands-on, inquiry-based instruction. So the college students find out what it's like to be a teacher, and very often they realize that this is an amazing opportunity for them to share their love of math and science, but in a different way. And many of them stay in the program, and they just grow and continue to grow. Our first field experiences are at the elementary school level, then they go on to the middle school level and then the high school, and they eventually become middle and high school teachers.
Do they realize that when they get their degree and they're teacher's license that they're going to have a job.
Absolutely. Our science and math teachers are highly sought after. We have a large urban school district not so far away from us that has said that they will hire all of our graduates. They are that interested. They know the program. They know how it's been successful at other institutions across the United States, and they want those teachers in their classrooms with their students.
Are they able to entice them with a larger salary?
That I do not know.
Sometimes that, what they say, money talks. So yes. I would imagine students looking at what area they're going to study. If somebody said, not only are you going to have a job in the area that you're studying, mm-hmm. but you're going to make, a better starting salary. So.
Well, we don't pay teachers the way we should, that's for sure. But there is Senator Tracy is proposing a bill this time that would, for instance, help if you're in science and math teaching, then the Hope Scholarship will increase in the amount that you could earn from that or have from that to help support. And there certainly have been some initiatives in the state for some time that allow a district to pay science and math teachers more than they would some other teachers. That's a difficult situation for a district administration to be in, but it is something that everyone looks at. I mean, obviously, salary is important.
And the thing is, if there's a job available out there, that is so important. I can see so many people who graduate with a certain degree and go to work in a field that's totally unrelated. And I'm imagining they took studies in that degree because they enjoyed that topic and then didn't get to use it.
Absolutely true.
So this is an opportunity to find something that you really have a passion for and to excel at it. And are you finding that, how many years have you had the STEM program?
Well, we've had the STEM Center about 10 years. A little over a decade. We've had the MTeach program for...
This is our third year.
3 years.
So between the center and the program itself, you've been able to track success.
We have. When we started this new teacher training program, we would graduate a handful of math and science high school teachers each year. Maybe 5 to 7 of each, sciences and math. But now Lee has 100 and...
Well over 100 students that are pursuing degrees in their field and minors in education to become teachers.
Now, a week or so ago, you had a big conference here in town, big 2-day conference.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went well. This is the 7th year that we've run this STEM Education Research Conference to try to bring together from across the state the research that's happening on teaching and learning. And it's exciting. We had a great group of folks. We had some wonderful presentations. We had some invited speakers from outside the state, nationally known speakers, who came and talked about some strategies that Tennessee is trying in a pilot way and that we hope will grow in Tennessee. One of those ideas is to offer physics in 9th grade and then chemistry in 10th and biology in 11th, kind of the opposite or the inversion of how we normally do science in high school. When I took science in high school, I took biology in 9th grade and then chemistry and then physics. That's the standard way. So if you turn that on in, it's called physics first. And so that's a technique that some schools in Tennessee are doing with some success. And then the other main topic of the conference was modeling instruction, which is a new way of teaching math and science that Lee could explain.
Tell us a little about modeling.
Modeling is an opportunity for students to really get their heads wrapped around their discipline, around the content, by working in small cooperative groups to address a question or solve a problem. And so instead of the teacher lecturing and being what we would call the sage on the stage, the teacher becomes the facilitator, a guide on the side, to work with the students as they explore the concepts and apply them towards the building of a model.
And so they are learning by thinking through the process themselves.
Yes.
Now, one other thing that this appears, it appears that you, in addition to creating students who are becoming these educators in the science field, mm-hmm. in addition, you're working with educators who are already there, who are seasoned teachers, and helping them improve their skills through this program you had a couple of weeks ago.
It's true. We have, at this conference, we have university folks and K-12 folks who are presenting research that they've done with students or with teachers as they try to understand how to better do teaching and learning. And so we do that. The other component that we don't do much of at the conference is professional development for teachers who are already in the classroom, called in-service teachers. And Lee has some plans this summer through the STEM hub that sits in Nashville for our region. Lee has some plans for some professional development for elementary and middle school teachers of science.
Tell us a little about that, because since this is President's Day, there are teachers who are not in the classroom today, and so they would like to learn how they can get some in-service credit.
Absolutely. One of the things that we realized very quickly when we started MTeach was that the mentorship, the directionality of education was actually bi-directional, that our students were learning a tremendous amount from our classroom mentor teachers, but the mentor teachers were learning things from our students as well. Our students were coming in with new ways of approaching content and new ways of teaching things that we had learned from the other UTeach replicates and from our own experience, and we realized that this was a wonderful opportunity. So we've designed a professional development program that sort of mirrors the coursework that our students take in MTeach, with an introduction to inquiry instruction, an opportunity to experience inquiry from the student side. This is how the teachers will experience it. And then they'll, over the course of a week, put together a unit, their own inquiry lessons that they can take back to their classroom and use with their students, their own students.
How can they learn more about this?
They certainly can contact the MTeach program at MTSU. They can contact me, Lee Gostowski, and I'm more than happy to share. In addition, this information will be posted on the STEM Innovation Hub's website. The website will contain information on all the professional development opportunities for teachers here in Middle Tennessee.
Very good. We want to thank both of you for joining us today, Dr. Tom Cheatham, the director of the STEM Education Center at MTSU, and Lee Gostowski, the program coordinator with MTeach. Thank you both for joining us. Stay with us. Much more to come as our focus on MTSU continues. Again, that's the Band of Blue.
GNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
For decades, we've been telling you that Bell Furniture has first quality name brand furniture half price every day. Now this locally owned family business has pictures of some of their furniture on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com. Save with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture. 1517, the new Nashville Highway,
halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
And on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com.
Sunshine for the forecast area. Today we do have a wind advisory out, a high near 60 degrees. South winds 15 to 30 miles per hour, could see gusts as high as 40. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 45. The Tech Life, helping you buy, set up, and use technology.
Just remove all that worry, all that stress.
The Tech Life, where Murfreesboro's tech support.
I trust them to babysit my child, you know, and I trust them to tell me which television I need based on my wants and my desires.
Visit us at thetechlife.net.
Have you heard the exciting story of Clark Iron and Metal right here in Murfreesboro? Well, what started as a family's means of survival has become a family business that has endured and grown for 50 years and through three generations. Today, the family business is operated by Chuck Clark, who took over the business in 1987 after the death of his father. If you have metal to be recycled or scrapped, you can get money for it at Clark Iron and Metal at 217 Hillard Drive in Murfreesboro. That's 217 Hillard Drive off of South Church.
This is George Plaster. Join me for Sports Night, weekdays 3 to 6, right after all sports talk at 2 here on WGNS.
In this segment of the program, we're focusing on the Black History Month, and that is what February is all about. Vincent Windrow is with us this morning, the director of MTSU's Office of Intercultural and Diversity Affairs and chairman of the Black History Month Committee. Vince, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you with us this morning.
I am excited to be here.
Well, tell us about this big event coming up on February the 25th.
Well, glad you asked, and I am excited about the retention summit as well. I think over the years, universities and community colleges alike have really honed in on the need not just to recruit, but to retain students as well. It's insufficient for students to come, but leave without that sheet of paper and the experiences. Moving into the next phase of their lives. And so the Complete College Act has been enacted. The legislature is certainly behind college completion and graduation rates. And so the Tennessee Board of Regents, and more specifically Middle Tennessee State University, has fully embraced the idea of retention. And so what we're doing on the 25th is we're having Dr. Freeman Hrabowski come in from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, who is an iconic figure in higher ed and who has an extensive background in recruiting and retaining students. And so he is going to be here to set the agenda for the day. And following his presentation and a question and answer period with him, we'll have a couple of more segments, breakout workshops, to really get down into the nuts and bolts of what it means to retain students.
Are you finding that in today's work world that today's students are graduating at a higher level? Those who begin, are they completing the task and walking away with the diploma, or is that going down?
I don't have the historical data from 25, 30 years ago, but we are certainly challenged by graduation rates. As a matter of fact, the industry, corporate America, is leaning very heavily on institutions of higher education for universities and community colleges to produce better qualified students and employees. Because, for example, the plant in Chattanooga, Volkswagen, is looking for better qualified applicants. And so industry recognizes that the experience, the collegiate experience, which it does involve development and does involve graduating, is very important to their productivity and their success.
It's interesting because the past two segments that were right before this one showed that today's students are focusing on areas where there are jobs now. You're not just getting a college education and hoping to get that dream job, but you are going down a path to where there are people at the end waiting to sign you up on the payroll.
I think that's the beauty of it, that you, like you said, it's just not getting into college and getting any old degree, but that students are more specific about what they want to do in life, and they have a goal, they have an objective, and entering into MTSU or any other university is a step in that direction. And so with the advising and with the other wraparound services that universities have now, it guides them along that path so that they won't become distracted. And so I think it's very important that students recognize their predetermined destination, where they want to go in the end, and then begin to take the steps necessary to get there.
Now, since we are in February, which is Black History Month,
sure,
are you finding that more and more African-American students are taking the college path?
They're taking the college path, but their graduation rate is not where we believe it should be. And it's not in comparison with others, but it is that, for example, from 2004 to 2010, only 32.9% of males, black males, graduated from MTSU. That is a low number in and of itself. We're not graduating as many as we would like. And interestingly enough, in the Daily News Journal yesterday, there was an article, a pretty sizable article, on retention at MTSU as it relates to other TBR schools. And I think that article, though well-written and well-intentioned, I think it obfuscates what's really going on at MTSU. Yes, we do have a higher graduation rate than the majority of other colleges or universities, rather, in the TBR system. And we're second to Tennessee Tech University with overall graduation rate. And we give the best bang for the buck as relates to numbers of graduates and the cost per graduate. So MTSU is a phenomenal deal, if you would. But we are not trying to graduate more students just to say we are better than Austin Peay or better than Tennessee State or better than other universities. That I don't believe that's President McPhee's goal. I don't believe it's the university's goal to be better than others. I think it's to be better than ourselves. How do we improve our retention rate? How do we influence the persistence of students, and not just for the sake of being better than someone else? We are trying to do a better job because we have these students and they have been placed in our care. They are our customers, and we want to do a better job by them. And so we must, through creative and innovative means, through advanced services, through early intervention initiatives, through heightened advising approaches, through a different style of teaching perhaps, we must do a better job to get our students from where they are to across the state. And we can do better. And not just for the sake of doing better in comparison to someone else, but we can do better.
Now, since this is Black History Month, if you compare the number of graduates in the African-American community to other minority groups, and there are hundreds of minority groups at MTSU, how do they stand in that comparison?
Well, interesting enough, and the students should be applauded, and as should the staff and the faculty and our executive administration. Black females are graduating, or from that same period, 2004 to 2010, that six-year period, at about a 46-47% clip, mm-hmm. which is higher than white males, which is higher than other minorities. And so we have an idea of what works. And let me say, the onus is not just on the university. We must make sure that the student who's coming into the university understands that this is their future that we're talking about, and that they must have a buy-in. They must come to the table. They must chip in and pitch in, because it is their future. Now, obviously, we are to help, but we can't do for someone what they ought to be doing for themselves. And so while we can draw the circle wide enough to include them and give them access, their success is highly dependent upon them. And do they go to class? Do they pay attention in class? There are several leading success indicators. Do they stay on campus? Do they access the various tutorial opportunities there are on the campus. So they have to do something. We can't do it for them, but certainly we can come alongside of them and help them throughout their matriculation.
Now, you mentioned that the women, the female students, are graduating at a higher level. Hasn't that always, I mean, I go back to when I was in high school, and I'm thinking, and that was a long time ago.
Two or three years.
It seems like the female students were more serious.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And even when I was in high school, even when I was at MTSU, even now as I pursue my doctorate in education at TSU, the female students always seem to be better prepared. They always seem to be better focused. And I think...
Why is that? How can that change? Can it change?
I think it takes longer for us to mature as males.
I think you hit it.
Yes. I've always seen it. And I think the numbers bear out that it's a catch-up game. Now eventually, we grow up as males. White or red or brown or black. Well, I'm 47 and I'm still catching up to my wife. So
I'm still catching up too.
but we should not give up on students while they are developing. And obviously, that's when they really need these types of programs and drawing the circle wide enough to include them and for our understanding where they are, but also to help them with their aspirations of where they want to be. But certainly females have routinely and historically outperformed males.
Now, if you go back to the beginning of Middle Tennessee,
sure,
it was a normal school with a focus on graduating teachers.
Sure.
Great opportunities in that field. Is that where most of the women are going now?
I think as American society and American industry and moreover American minds have gained a sense of clarity and a sense of equality, and although there is still a ceiling, a glass ceiling, as it relates to females and their upward and forward advancement, I think they're branching out into all fields. And so you see them in ROTC, you see them in recording industry management, you see them in a diverse group of vocations and majors. And I think that's wonderful because we need everyone in everything.
And so when you're working on diversity on the MTSU campus, mm-hmm. you're looking at total diversity, not just gender, but diversity in what they're studying and opportunities in the job world, everything.
International students come to MTSU to learn not just about academics, but to learn about the American experience. And we have to pay special attention to them because they have different types of needs, different types of assimilation needs than perhaps our domestic students do. And so it's very important that we recognize that everyone is not the same, that even though you may be an international student, you may be an international student from India or from China or from the Bahamas or from anywhere. So it's just important that we recognize that everyone is not the same and that we need to give special energies in these groups of people.
Now, before we leave, let's go back to that February 25th event, Retention Summit. Is this open to the public?
Absolutely.
And, it is. And how can people get involved?
Sure. They can email me at vincent.windrow@mtsu.edu. That's vincent.windrow@mtsu.edu. To register, the Freeman Hrabowski presentation starts at 9 o'clock in our fabulous new student union, second floor ballroom. He's going to do a fabulous job. It takes a village to raise a child, and it's not just on the university, is just not on the student, but it is on the home, it is on the community partners that we have. And so he's going to speak to that. So 9 o'clock a.m. Monday morning, February the 25th, in our fabulous new student union second floor ballroom.
An opportunity to check it out.
Absolutely. It is fantastic. Have you been there yet?
I have not.
Oh, you are missing a wonderful thing. I'm fantastic.
I need to come over there, even if it's just a walk through.
Yes, yes.
and sort of experience, it'll make me want to go back to college. We are flat out of time. Thank you very much for being with us today and sharing this. For more information about Black History Month, can they go to your website?
They can go to my website, www.mtsu.edu/IDA, and they'll pull up the whole calendar of events.
And get involved.
Yes.
Vincent Windrow visiting with us this morning. Our focus has been on MTSU. Vincent, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Much more to come. Truman's next.